Welcome back, Pod TST, a regular LA Rams podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Arthur, the managing editor and lead writer at Turf Show Times. And I'm going to be here all season long talking to you about the Rams. So please think about subscribing and enjoying the podcast. Try to enjoy it. You know, that's what I say to any piece of content that you decide to consume. Just enjoy it. You know, you're listening to it, so you might as well have a good time. Of course, hey, look, I don't want to put all the pressure on you for me to do a good job. I'll keep the pressure on myself to do a good job. But everybody, please clap. I'll stay here for a second while everybody at home listening to this gives me a round of applause. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Let me go ahead and talk to you about the Rams. I wanted to, I spend a lot of time writing with my fingers, and I also spend a lot of time talking with my mouth, and that's what I'm going to do here. I've been writing with my fingers about what the Rams have done in the first 4 or 5 days of training camp here in the first week as training camp has opened up for the Rams and the rest of the NFL. And now I'm going to use my words in a talking audio format to describe what has happened with the Rams here in the first 5 days of training camp. Right now, it is Sunday, August 1st, so any updates would be coming up to Saturday's practice, and that's what you would be getting here. So anything that's happened post Saturday, I would suppose, would be an update to whatever you're going to hear on this podcast right now. But there's a lot of unknowns with the Rams. Entering camp, honestly, there's still a lot of unknowns with the Rams, probably just as many as there were, if not more, a few days ago. But at least there is more stuff that we do feel like we have an idea of, thanks to finally getting some reps here and some depth charts and getting to see some players fill in for departed players, whether that be in free agency or injuries. So there's been opportunities to get longer looks at some of these unknown Rams. And it's not just unknown Rams. It can also be known Rams working with new players, new coaches. There's a ton of those in key positions. Obviously, none bigger than quarterback Matthew Stafford, and he steps into an offense that has an incredible amount of continuity, the most continuity I would probably think. I can't imagine any team having more continuity than this. Sean McVay comes in 2017, and in every season since Sean McVay has been the head coach, this being now his fifth season as the head coach of the Rams, in every season he's had Andrew Whitworth as his left tackle, in every season he's had Rob Havenstein as his right tackle, in every season he's had Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods as his two receivers, and in every season he's had Tyler Higbee as his number one tight end. There are other players who do still have, you know, all the offensive line has been here for at least a year, most of them 2 or 3 years. Almost everybody on the offensive line has been together for 2 or 3 years, the only exceptions being players who will not contribute or who are not expected to contribute this season, like undrafted free agents Alaric Jackson and Jordan Meredith. And, you know, there are guys like Chandler Brewer who sat out with opted out last season. There's definitely guys who do not have a ton of maybe starting experience, but practice experience, knowing each other, knowing Sean McVay. They do get a new coach in offensive line coach Kevin Carberry coming out of Stanford and replacing Aaron Cromer, who is regarded as one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. I don't know what he's up to now, but they still have his son Cromer as one of the assistant coaches. So, you know, as long as you have one Cromer, you know, you'll never go back. So that's what they say about assistant coaches. And offensive linemen, there is Andrew Whitworth at left tackle again. David Edwards going into, you know, really his first time going into training camp, going into the season as a starting left guard that had previously been Joseph Nopum in the last 2 years going into the season. And then each time David Edwards coming in, and now David Edwards really solidifying himself as the left guard. And then it looks like maybe Austin Corbett could be the center, Bobby Evans the right guard. So would be a little bit of changes there if that's how it does shake out. And then, of course, Havenstein at the right tackle. But in any case, it seems like, you know, the only maybe new starter would be Bobby Evans. And then it's a case where maybe if somebody else wins the center position and Austin Corbett slides the right guard, then, of course, center would be where there are some changes. And I can just tell you from my experience as a writer, as Turf Show Times managing editor, as the guy who is monitoring what you guys like to read and share and talk about. And that's a perspective I've had for a very long time with NFL fans. And I can tell you that what you want to hear right now is anything having to do with offensive line, with centers, with guards, free agents, players who aren't even on the Rams. I've seen that Rams fans would rather hear about a free agent center who's not on the Rams and probably never will be, than say somebody who is on the Rams. Would you rather hear about Austin Reeder, the center for the Chiefs for the last couple of years, who's a free agent right now? Or would you rather hear about Bryson Hopkins? Now, I'm sure most of you would probably say Bryson Hopkins. I would rather say Bryson Hopkins. The numbers say something different, so I don't know exactly what that is, but I know that there is a ton of interest and intrigue and curiosity about the offensive line, as always. And I think the Rams can enter with, you know, one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line, in the NFC West. Over at the LA Football Network, I see that they have a post here recently this weekend, ranking the offensive lines in the NFC West. I, too, did this on Turf Show Times at least a week ago, if not more. And the way that they have it is Seattle at number 4. Which I think a lot of people could agree with. Arizona at number 3, maybe Arizona, you know, that's where I think it's just like, well, is it Arizona or Seattle? You know, I like Arizona because I think DJ Humphreys, the left tackle, is a very underrated left tackle, especially as compared to some of these guys in the NFC West who have really great reputations, like Andrew Whitworth, who I think should be a Hall of Famer, and Trent Williams, who may be the most talented or best left tackle in the NFC West. He's certainly being paid that way and regarded that way. And then Dwayne Brown with Seattle, who is a former first round pick with a very good reputation and has helped Seattle, you know, sort of fortify that position after when they had lost Russell Okung a few years ago. It was a real mess, and Dwayne Brown has helped solidify the left tackle position for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. But, you know, whether or not Seattle, Arizona, a lot of people would probably regard them as, you know, the lesser of the four offensive lines in the NFC West. And then you've got the Rams, who, as I said, have all that continuity, and then they have the 49ers, does LA Football Network. They have the 49ers ranked number 1 with a projected starting offensive line of Trent Williams at left tackle, Laken Tomlinson at left guard, free agent veteran center Alex Mack, rookie right guard Aaron Banks, and then Mike McGlinchey at right tackle, the former top 10 pick who, by most accounts, I think has struggled through his first couple of years or a few years in the NFL, but probably is a decent player who can hold his own, I'm sure, too. So a lot of that ranking seems to be invested in this Trent Williams and Alex Mack's name recognition. But I think the Rams having that offensive line and also getting a quarterback upgrade in Matthew Stafford should make the offensive line look better. And also it could make the defense better. On Sunday, Pro Football Talk's article here, Leonard Floyd says that Matthew Stafford is making the Rams defense better. What Leonard Floyd said here, and I'm just going to read directly from Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio on his Sunday report here, saying Floyd told reporters on Saturday that he's seen greater intensity at practice between offense and defense. He attributes it to the quarterback position. Quote, I noticed it. I think it's Matthew. He's a veteran quarterback, so he is making it a little tougher at practice, and that ain't going to do nothing but make us better on defense. Goff was according to Floyd. And he said Floyd also noticed that after cornerback Jalen Ramsey intercepted a Stafford pass, Stafford cranked things up a few notches, and Floyd has witnessed Stafford's skill as a thrower. He's been dropping dimes, really, Floyd said. He was in the same division when I was with Chicago, so I pretty much know. Yeah, he's really good. So, obviously, there's some more praise there for Matthew Stafford from a teammate. Obviously, a lot of people would twist that into a saying that he's trashing Jared Goff and saying, like, oh, there's more intensity than there was in the past. Look, it does, not everything has to be a diss. Not everything has to turn into beef. Not everything has to be spun into a negative about another person just because you're saying something positive about somebody else. You know, there's nothing wrong with comparing two quarterbacks, especially when they've been, you know, when it's been a team changing over and you're essentially getting the same offense, same head coach, same offensive system, most of the same players around the quarterback position. What else are you supposed to do if not say, okay, how are things differently this year as compared to the previous 4 years, the previous 5 years? You know, whether or not, I mean, just saying like, oh yeah, Matthew Stafford does this or he brings that or whatever, you know, I don't think there's any reason for anybody out there, not saying that even saying, you know, I mean, there's plenty of arguments to make against Mike Florio or Pro Football Talk for something that they do or say and say like, I don't know, it seems like maybe you're twisting this for a story that's not really there. But in this case, I'm not even saying that Mike Florio is doing that, but I do see a lot of people, anytime you say something about Matthew Stafford and how things are different this year, it's like, oh wow, you're talking trash about Jared Goff. No, you know, like Jared Goff is a person and we are allowed to evaluate. I think that's the job of anybody that's observing or writing about the team or, you know, just a fan, you know, it's your job as a fan, I guess, but you're allowed to say things are different now. I mean, nobody would argue with the idea that, like, between in Houston, the difference between Deshaun Watson and Tyrod Taylor is massive. And if Deshaun Watson is starting for the Texans, you'd say, wow, things are different here offensively. We can do a whole lot different now as opposed to if things get going with Tyrod Taylor, just like it was with the LA Chargers, just like it was with the Cleveland Browns when those teams had Tyrod Taylor. And nobody goes around saying you're trashing Tyrod Taylor, right? You're just saying something obvious. There's a quarterback who's better on the teams that he's been around, from Baltimore to Cleveland to LA to Houston. Everybody acknowledges that Tyrod Taylor is a backup quarterback as compared to the starters on that team. Everybody is aware of the fact that the Packers are a different team with Aaron Rodgers than if they were with Jordan Love. And the Rams are a different team with Matthew Stafford than they were with Jared Goff. And the Lions will be a different team with Jared Goff than they were with Matthew Stafford. And that's it. You know, I don't think that, like, when Michael Brocker says, you know, the Rams leveled up when they traded for Matthew Stafford, is that something that you disagree with, or you just think that Michael Brockers isn't allowed to share his opinion or to voice his opinion? The same opinion that you all share, the same opinion that everybody shares. But it's like, it's appalling to think that somebody is allowed to share their opinion about a football player, that it's talking trash to say the obvious thing that we all agree with. So, just a note there that, you know, yes, Leonard Floyd says that maybe things are differently. There's a different intensity. There's the defense has to be more on its toes in training camp this year than they were in the previous years. Isn't that something that we all expected and agree with? So no trash talking there that I see from Leonard Floyd. Just an honest opinion from a football player about the differences in the way that things are going. So that's one thing to observe here. And more about Matthew Stafford here, looking at Stu Jackson's article on the Rams.com titled 10 observations from day 4 of Rams training camp. The number one observation, cornerback Jalen Ramsey had one of the top plays of the day. I'm quoting here from Stu Jackson, intercepting a Matthew Stafford pass during red zone drills and returning it most of the distance towards the opposite end zone, with Aaron Donald somersaulting into the end zone to finish the play off for a touchdown. And then Stafford's response to the interception was equally impressive. The next play, he escaped the pocket and found Cooper Kupp in the back corner of the end zone for a touchdown. And the red zone period ended with Stafford firing a no-look pass to Darrell Henderson for a touchdown. So a few more notes there on Matthew Stafford, just being that on one hand, it seemed as though he threw an interception, but at least he threw an interception to the cornerback that many consider to be the best cornerback in the NFL, and also it's practice, and interceptions don't mean anything. If you read anything from anybody that cites quarterback statistics in training camp as if they are indicative of a future, you can tell that writer, even if it's me, that, you know, those stats don't matter, right? We need to have reporters stop reporting training camp stats, because you have to realize that most people in the world, the sports fans, and especially at least here in America, from my observations over the last, you know, X amount of years doing this, my observations is that people have a hard time separating stats from meaning. So if you give them stats, all of a sudden they think that they have meaning. But if a quarterback goes 11 of 20 in a training camp practice, that doesn't have any meaning. Quarterbacks have often said in the past, hey, look, I'm not even trying to complete all my passes in practice. I'm trying to make mistakes in practice. I need to make mistakes in practice. That's why it's practice. You know, like a comedian goes and does a bunch of stand-up shows where they don't want there to be anybody recording with their phones. They don't want there to be anybody recording what they're saying. They don't want anybody taking notes and reporting what they've said, because maybe at some point they're going to put that on television, or maybe at some point they're going to film a special or whatever. And it's like, you're not even getting my finished product of this joke. I can't make a finished product of this joke until I go out there and say a bunch of things that some of which will be funny, some of which won't be funny, some of which will be mistakes that I hope to make so that when I go on television, I'm not making them. And that's how a stand-up goes out and decides to do, you know, comedy. And then what you have is bloggers going to comedy shows, or fans going to comedy shows, or hecklers going to comedy shows, recording comedians or reporting what comedians said, and saying, when, you know, whether or not they're saying they got offended by what was said, or whether or not they're saying that others were offended, or whether or not they're saying that the comedian was no good. It's a stand-up show. Maybe you didn't even pay to go to it. You had to buy two drinks. It's not there for everything to be great. If you go and you pay $70 to see a stand-up, then, you know, you're probably seeing a more finished product. But these training camp practices are open mics. You got to go in there and make a bunch of mistakes. You got to throw interceptions. You don't want to go in there in a practice and just be perfect and not know what it's like to respond to throwing a pick six, or not know what it's like to respond to a fumble, or not whatever it is. So you got to give everybody in training camp, you got to treat them like Dave Chappelle. And that means that you kind of got to treat them like Dave Chappelle, knowing, oh man, if I report on what they do here tonight, they might come around and make me the butt of their next special, and they might make me the butt of the joke on their next special, and all of a sudden I'm looking like the enemy here. So whatever Matthew Stafford does in camp, you know, the positive reports aren't going to be the statistics. The positive reports are going to be the things like Stafford firing a no-look pass, Stafford making plays that other quarterbacks in the past maybe didn't make, or Stafford, you know, it's just that presence, whatever it is. You know, I'm sure that at camp they'll be able to more accurately describe, if you're a teammate or a coach, how much different things are with Stafford. But, you know, what his reports are on his statistics are of no meaning to me, and they shouldn't be of any meaning to you. You have to start separating stats from meaning in your brain, not just for practices, but also for preseason. Got to get rid of those stats. And you also, you know, kind of even got to treat them with a lot more careful gloves in the regular season when you see stats and realize this is not going to be the end all be all of player evaluation. Stats are not the end all be all. They're like not even in the conversation as being like equal with other measurements of a play. So that's something that I always like to keep in mind with regards to statistics. Some other notes here from Stu Jackson's training camp notes on day four. Jalen Ramsey was facing off against DeSean Jackson. It'll be interesting to see how much DeSean Jackson contributes early in the season. If he stays healthy, how much more, how much he impacts the offense, and also how much he holds off Van Jefferson and Tutu Atwell from getting opportunities and targets. It really feels like so far through training camp, you've heard almost nothing on Tutu Atwell. And at least as far as, you know, like a receiver, maybe he'll get in there and punts. And it's not as though we expected there to be a lot said about Tutu Atwell. And that's kind of a good thing. You know, if he's going to be flying under the radar, taking his time to learn the offense, get comfortable with McVay and Stafford and everybody else on the team. And, you know, that's perfectly fine, because over a 17-game season, I'm quite sure that Tutu Atwell, if he remains healthy, will get his opportunities eventually. Cooper Kupp has been banged up over the years. Robert Woods, DeSean Jackson obviously has been banged up. Robert Woods has been pretty healthy, but is approaching 30. You know, there are a lot of considerations to be made for why Tutu Atwell could see time, but right now is not the time. Stu Jackson reports that Daryl Henderson has looked explosive, while Xavier Jones and Jake Funk showed good agility. I would say that that's going to be very interesting to see if Xavier Jones or Jake Funk do become complements to Daryl Henderson. I can't imagine that Daryl Henderson, you know, there are going to be like 1,200 offensive snaps this year, about 100 more than there have been in other years. 1,200 offensive snaps. You cannot expect Daryl Henderson to take more than 600 of those, 700 maybe. I mean, if he's a starting number one running back, I mean, that is not a small number of snaps. It's more than he's had in his career so far. I'm going to go ahead and just look up Daryl Henderson's career snap counts. But he's had 440 snaps in 2 years, and there's going to be about 1,200 snaps this year. So I can't imagine Daryl Henderson taking more than 600 or 700 of those if he's healthy. That's going to leave a whole, I mean, that's going to leave like a whole 600 snaps for somebody else. Xavier Jones, Jake Funk, Otis Anderson, Raymond Calais. They're all on the roster right now. I would think somebody's got to be added eventually, but look at the numbers, break it down. I can't imagine that it's just going to be Daryl Henderson out there for what would be a 300 or a 350 carry season if you weren't going to have a compliment to him. So there will be a compliment, I assume, and it'll be interesting to see which players stand out, but that's something that we probably won't really get a good idea of until one or two preseason games have happened. The first of those is about 2 weeks away against the LA Chargers on August 14th. Robert Woods apparently had a big day, and Ben Skowronek, the seventh round selection out of Notre Dame. Here's what Stu Jackson had to say about him. Rookie wide receiver Ben Skowronek had another good session, catching a deep ball from John Wolford later on in red zone. Skowronek made a catch in tight coverage near the pylon, but defensive back Kareem Orr was there to prevent him from reaching over or crossing the goal line. So Ben Skowronek fighting for a job as a special teamer, probably. I've already mentioned five wide receivers who appear to be locks to make the team. So if you're talking about keeping six receivers, that's a competition between Ben Skowronek, Tristan Jackson, J.J. Koski, and undrafted free agent rookies Landon Akers and Jeremiah Hadle. Tutu Atwell right now is on the COVID reserve list, but If you keep six receivers, Ben Skowronek appears to be in there. Jacob Harris, you know, if he's going to be a tight end or a receiver, he appears to be in there. So it's going to be, that's going to be such a difficult decision, I think, for McVay, is like that sixth wide receiver job, especially when you know, like, all right, from a receiver standpoint, the LA Rams are covered. You need wide receivers who can do some other things, get in there in special teams. That is something that he was noted at when he at the draft time, was like, oh man, this guy's a special teams beast. So maybe Ben Skowronek is going to make the final 53 roster. We'll see. David Long Jr. has been out there as one of the starting cornerbacks so far, and going into his third year, that'll be very important for him to, you know, establish himself as an NFL starter, and then he could get paid big bucks, as we've seen from several other former Rams cornerbacks, including Troy Hill this year with the Cleveland Browns. The linebacker competition remains open, but, you know, we could see Justin Hollins, Leonard Floyd, Micah Kizer, and Kenny Young potentially as the first four starting linebackers. Rookie third rounder Ernest Jones, obviously, he's not going away. Traven Howard, who missed all of last year, he's not going away. And those two guys could push hard for starting reps at linebacker. Where does that leave Troy Reader? Where does that leave Justin Lawler? Where does that leave, you know, Terrell Lewis, who nobody has really talked about so far in camp? There hasn't been a lot of talk about Terrell Lewis, and that's interesting. Taylor Rapp at safety has been out there with the ones at times. So you could see Jordan Fuller, Taylor Rapp, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Williams, and David Long potentially, or Terrell Burgess as the starting secondary. Another good competition there that should at least leave LA with some quality reserves behind the starter. So I think that the defensive backs, while there's a lot of question marks there, it seems like with the defensive backs and linebackers and defensive line, almost everywhere on the defense, there's a few stars like Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, a very solid player in Leonard Floyd, some guys that you really like with Sebastian Joseph Day and potentially A'shaun Robinson. There's a lot of talent, and you could say that even where there's competitions and uncertainties and you're not sure, like, is the starter going to be great? There's going to be a lot of depth here on the Rams defense, and that should be good for a 17-game season. And then offensively, like I said, lots of continuity and an upgraded quarterback. So again, I've had the Rams. I've picked them to make the Super Bowl this year all offseason long, ever since they traded for Matthew Stafford. At this time, I have no reason to change that, and I feel even more confident after talking about the Rams today that they are my pick to win the NFC. That's it for this episode of Pod TST. Again, I'll be here regularly, so subscribe, share it if you want to, and we'll keep doing this together and figuring it out. That's it for this episode of Pod TST. Come back pretty soon for another one. Pretty soon for another one. Pretty soon for another one.